Today is Low Sunday, the octave day of Easter. Early in the life of the church, great feasts were given their own octaves, that is to say, an eight-day period in which the character of the celebration would be prolonged. Easter is the ultimate of these great celebrations. During this period, those who had been baptized at the great liturgy of Easter would wear their white robes every day, and the liturgical texts were the same as those of Easter Day itself. So today, in a sense, is very much still Easter Day. The beginning of our Gospel reading transports us to that first Easter evening, when a terrified group of isolated disciples, doubtless trying to unpack the dazzling ramifications of Mary Magdalene's message, were given the gift of Christ's peace and commissioned to continue his ministry of reconciliation. We're standing today in Infirmary Hall, a beautiful 14th century space with a glorious vaulted ceiling, where during monastic times the community which preceded us here would have spoken Christ's words of peace to one another at moments of sickness and frailty. Christ's peace is the hallmark of Easter life, which overflows in joy and love. The Tudor poet Edmund Spenser, who's buried in the Abbey, put it like this: "Most glorious Lord of life, that on this day didst make thy triumph over death and sin, and having harrowed hell, didst bring away captivity thence captive us to win. This joyous day, dear Lord, with joy begin, and grant that we for whom thou didst die, being with thy dear blood clean washed from sin, may live for ever in felicity. And that thy love we weighing worthily, may likewise love thee for the same again, and for thy sake, that all like dear didst buy, with love may one another entertain. So let us love, dear love, like as we ought. Love is the lesson which the Lord us taught."
When it was evening on that day, the first day of the week, and the doors of the house where the disciples had met were locked for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." After he said this, he showed them his hands and his side. Then the disciples rejoiced when they saw the Lord. Jesus said to them again, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, so I send you." When he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven. If you retain the sins of any, they are retained." But Thomas, who was called the twin, one of the 12, was not with them when Jesus came. So the other disciples told him, "We have seen the Lord." But he said to them, "Unless I see the mark of the nails in his hands, and put my finger in the mark of the nails, and my hand in his side, I will not believe." A week later, his disciples were again in the house, and Thomas was with them. Although the doors were shut, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." Then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here and see my hands. Reach out your hand and put it in my side. Do not doubt, but believe." Thomas answered him, "My Lord and my God." Jesus said to him, "Have you believed because you have seen me? Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have come to believe." Now Jesus did many other signs in the presence of his disciples which are not written in this book. But these are written so that you may come to believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that through believing, you may have life in his name.
Easter. In St. John's Gospel, the disciples learn about Easter. Notice it begins with telling the time. When it was evening on that day, the first day of the week, John is always careful to tell us what day it is. There is lots of talk of that day, or the last day, or on the third day Jesus came to Cana. John wants us to ask, what day is it? because Jesus looks forward to one day in particular. On that day, you will know that I am in my Father, and you in me, and I in you. This is the day the kingdom comes, the day God keeps his promises. In this gospel reading, at Easter, we have finally come to that day, when it was evening, on that day. We've stepped off the calendar, our watches no longer work. Christ is risen, that day has dawned, and the future has begun. There's more. It's also the first day of the week. That's the theological version of dropping a tray of glasses. It's a dramatic, attention-grabbing moment. In Genesis, remember, God created the heaven and the earth in a week and rested on the Sabbath. In John's Gospel, Jesus completes his work and dies on a cross saying, "It is accomplished," on a Friday. Then there's Sabbath, the day of rest. And now look what happens. A new week begins. John grabs us by the ear and says, "Pay attention, this is the first day of the week." It is that day. Christ lives, the kingdom comes, creation is renewed, and we start something different. This creation dawns on disciples in lockdown. They were living in fear, and they were right to be afraid. They had the doors bolted. The first Easter comes to those locked in. Into that anxiety, the risen Christ steps and says something decisive. "Peace be with you." Once again, we must notice that things have changed. You and I greet one another with questions, "How are you?" or observations, "Lovely weather for the time of year." Christ greets his followers with this command, "Peace be with you." It's not a question, "Are you feeling peaceful?" It's not an aspiration, "Give peace a chance." This is a command. It's also near the heart of the gospel. It's St. Luke who tells us that the angels sang of peace in the skies over Bethlehem, making the whole of Christ's ministry the proclamation of peace. John connects the coming of peace with Jesus' death on the cross. At the Last Supper, he tells us, Jesus himself began to speak of peace. "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you." Peace is announced and peace begins. So Easter is a new creation and it is the peace of God. At which point, a lockdown anxious people, we may need a little help. For too long, we thought of peace as the absence of violence, the thing you secure by strength and might. For peace, you need peacekeepers, and they're usually armed. Do you remember that wonderful and utterly chilling speech made by Jack Nicholson's Marine colonel in A Few Good Men? "Son, we live in a world that has walls, and those walls have to be guarded by men with guns. Who's going to do it?" That's the peace we think of. It's the ability to sleep safely in our beds. It's not the peace of God. It's nothing like the peace of God. What Jesus announces and what lies at the heart of Easter is a peace that begins in reconciliation and issues out in trust, in love, and in shared joy. Lockdown is anxious and it can be suspicious of the stranger. Christ's Easter peace, which now enters, strides past all the bolts and shutters, announces a new creation in which we will never need bolts and shutters again. Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you."
William Walton's Jubilate of 1972 encapsulates something of the profound joy of the resurrection and the energy of that new creation into which all Christ's followers are called. It's sung here by the Abbey Choir. Let us pray. Lord Jesus, risen from the dead and alive forevermore, stand in our midst today as in the upper room. Show us your hands and your side. Speak your peace to our hearts and minds, and send us forth into the world as your joyful witnesses, for the glory of your name. Amen. In the joy of the resurrection and united with Christians throughout the world, let us pray as our Saviour has taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, for ever and ever. Amen. As we pray for God's blessing, we commend to God's grace and protection the sick, the bereaved, and all those who now work so hard to keep us safe and keep us well. The God of peace, who brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the eternal covenant, make you perfect in every good work to do his will, working in you that which is well-pleasing in his sight. And the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, be among you and remain with you always. Amen.